this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob in your live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Prepare for the trial of December 4th down in Florida. It could top the horror of the Bill Cosby trial, and it could be one of the most significant moments in the Me Too movement. And this is of a longtime friend of Donald Trump's and Bill Clinton's and Alan Dershowitz. It's a man that we have talked about on the show on and off over the years. And our webpage, kgov.com/pedophiles, it lists the many pedophiles that liberals celebrate. And there is a note on that page about Bill Clinton, not known as a pedophile, except that Jeffrey Epstein, multimillionaire, who is a known pedophile, had not only a longtime friendship with Bill Clinton, but his airplane, named the Lolita Express, horrifically, Bill Clinton had flown on that plane 26 times, apparently also to Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island in the Caribbean. So some of the victims of Jeffrey Epstein have been trying to get justice for 20 years now. And this trial, like the Bill Cosby trial, where some victims got to speak, this trial is set to begin December 4th in Florida. And one of the horrors of this is not only Donald Trump's longtime friendship with Jeffrey Epstein, but also one of Trump's cabinet members. His name is Acosta. Now, not the CNN Jim Acosta, of course, but Alexander Acosta, Trump's Secretary of the Department of Labor, who's also named as a possible replacement for U.S. Attorney Jeff Sessions. Alexander Acosta gave to Jeffrey Epstein and his buddies, who were obviously also guilty in his pedophile sex trafficking, it gave them basically a deal of anonymity and immunity combined. So I'm going to share with you a story out today from the Miami Herald about Epstein, but also about this astounding deal that he was given. And the story revolves in part around a young woman, Virginia Roberts, who was working at the time at Mar-a-Lago in Florida, Donald Trump's luxurious resort. And I've seen different reports that she was 16 or 17 years old when approached at Mar-a-Lago by Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend, who then trained her to be not only basically a sex slave for Jeffrey Epstein, starting at that age as a teenager, but who also then worked to get other girls to service not only Epstein and his friends in Miami, but elsewhere at his different homes, New York and the Caribbean and elsewhere. So I'm going to share some of this. I'm going to read excerpts from this article today in the Miami Herald that has a big banner across the top, Perversion of Justice. And of course, it's the play on the word pervert there, which the media almost never uses. And it's interesting that a handful of people have been pointing out the horror of Jeffrey Epstein for years. But the mainstream media now, they might help only because of the connection to Donald Trump. Because Trump's, one of his cabinet members is Alexander Acosta, who, when you hear what Acosta did, you will be horrified. His career should have been destroyed in the Me Too movement already. And perhaps it will with this trial beginning December 4th. It should be. But Donald Trump, speaking about Jeffrey Epstein years ago, back in 2002, he said, Epstein's a lot of fun to be with. It's even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side. That's what Donald Trump said about Jeffrey Epstein, who did have a pedophile sex trafficking ring. Now, that's not proof that Trump knew how young. But when you find out, when you hear what happened with the deal that Jeffrey Epstein received and his unnamed anonymous co-conspirators, you will be shocked and you will realize that a lot of strings were pulled at very high levels. At the time of the deal, it was the George W. Bush Justice Department that made this happen at a federal level. So here we go from the Miami Herald. In 2007, Miami's top federal prosecutor, Alexander Acosta, had a breakfast appointment with a former colleague, a Washington, D.C. attorney. The 38-year-old prosecutor, this Acosta, a rising Republican star who had served in several White House posts already before being named U.S. attorney in Miami by George W. Bush. On this show, Bob Inert Live, we have over the years pointed out that some of the most egregious miscarriages of justice were committed by Republicans, including by Republican judges, including, for example, just one minor example, Roe v. Wade was written by a Republican judge, Harry Blackmun, and passed by a Republican majority, and ever since upheld by a Republican majority U.S. Supreme Court, ever since. All right, so there's this breakfast meeting, but it's interesting that the meeting was not at the prosecutor's Miami headquarters. It was held 70 miles away, and the two attorneys meeting were basically part of the good old boys club. They had previously worked at the Washington law firm of Kirkland and Ellis. And the attorney who met with the U.S. attorney, who met with Acosta, his client was Jeffrey Epstein. Now, Epstein acquired his wealth as a money manager, initially with Bear Stearns, then with his own firm. And he had built this cult-like network of sex trafficking of underage girls, recruited with the help of young women, including not only his girlfriend, who was an adult, but then the young women, the teenagers they recruited, they used them to recruit others, including traveling to other countries to escort, to bring back young girls to be part of this sex trafficking. According to the Palm Beach police that did the initial investigation, these girls were expected to perform daily and frequently throughout each day at Epstein's mansion there in Palm Beach. He had a waterfront mansion, on his plane, in his homes, in other cities. Now, Jeffrey Epstein, as I've already mentioned, had friends including Bill Clinton, who had flown on the Lolita Express. You know, we have a friend of Bob Inert Live, longtime friend of the show. Her name is Lolita, and she despises the perverts who use the name Lolita as a fantasy that they could use in public for their sexual perversion, including sex with young girls. Like Donald Trump says, hey, Epstein, he's a lot of fun to be with. It's even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side. Imagine saying that publicly. Just imagine saying that. I feel so sorry for Donald Trump, how he's been used by so many Christians in order to take a shot at and to defeat the Democrats because of their hate for the Democrats, which I do share. But you don't use a human being and gamble with his eternal soul by approving of him and helping him sleep well at night when he now has the guilt of the blood of millions of unborn children on his hands as president of the United States. and giving now, what is he about to do? Give his next $500 million to the abortion industry here in the U.S. And as he's been nominating judges who legitimize the killing of innocent children. So all the blood on Donald Trump's hands, all the immorality that he has not repented of. I think when he was asked if he's ever repented, if I recall, he said, of what? What would I have to repent of? What would I have to be sorry for? I remember as part of our prison ministry, jail ministry, there was a guy in his early 20s in the Jefferson County Jail, and he was a pedophile, convicted pedophile. And he actually thought that he was God's gift to mankind. God's gift to mankind. So we shared the gospel with him, which he had the same attitude as Donald Trump. Why should I repent? The world is lucky I'm here. And I remember we would witness to him, me and a couple guys that I had talked to about judging and not forgiving apart from repentance and not being nicer than God. And one of those guys, his name was Sam, and he had killed his stepfather, shot him in the face with a shotgun, and killed him. And Sam and I and a couple others were witnessing to this pedophile. And he did think he was God's gift to mankind. And we were warning him about what is awaiting for him at Judgment Day, because he's not God's gift to mankind. He was among the most vile criminals, a pedophile. And it was interesting, after a couple weeks of trying to wear down his pride, he finally, I remember we were sitting around, it was early evening, sitting around a table, Bibles out, having a Bible study, and we're trying to reach him with the gospel, and he finally broke down and acknowledged his sin before God. And it was really astounding. His tears flowed. And then, as will happen, you know, his nose began to run and his Bible is open below him. His eyes are closed. He's crying like a baby. And the mucus dripping out of his nose was pooling on the open page of the Bible. And Sam went to the toilet that's right out in the open there and got a bunch of toilet paper and cleaned his face and cleaned up the Bible. And that guy then, for the rest of the time that we were with him, he did show signs of true repentance. And hopefully that was the case. At any rate, we don't know what Bill Clinton may have done with underage girls with Jeffrey Epstein. We don't know how firsthand Donald Trump's knowledge was of Jeffrey Epstein's beautiful women. And as he said, many of them are on the younger side. We don't know. He said Epstein is a lot of fun to be with. But what we do know is the deal that one of Trump's cabinet members gave to Jeffrey Epstein and his anonymous, unnamed co-conspirators. So let's see. Epstein committed human trafficking with minor girls, often from overseas, for sex parties at his homes in Florida, Manhattan, New Mexico, and the Caribbean. And this is according to FBI and court records. He was facing a 53-page federal indictment. This is in 2007. He could have ended up in federal prison for the rest of his life. Now, he should have been put to death. But what he was facing was prison for the rest of his life. Based on the breakfast deal that was struck that morning, what he ended up getting was 13 months in the county jail. And it was this extraordinary plea agreement that concealed the extent of his crimes and the names of the people involved and the number of people involved. This deal, now, normally you cut a deal with a prosecutor, so it's the prosecutor's agreement. This deal was called a non-prosecution agreement. Isn't that unusual? A non-prosecution agreement? It shut down the ongoing FBI probe into how many victims there were and who the other powerful people may have been involved in Epstein's human trafficking sex ring. And that's according to the Miami Herald after they've examined thousands of emails, court documents, and FBI records. Epstein and four accomplices who were named in the agreement, they received immunity from all federal criminal charges. Now, this reminds us of the Hillary Clinton email investigation, so-called alleged investigation, when the FBI basically gave immunity to everybody. But here, Epstein and four of his accomplices received immunity from all federal criminal charges. But then the most extraordinary thing happened. The deal included wording that granted immunity to, quote, any potential co-conspirators. Do you realize that? And, you know, usually a plea agreement, it's because the prosecutors are getting something. Right? What'd they get? This pervert went to county jail for 13 months? I've done half of that time for a conspiracy to loiter. I've done half of that time in Denver County Jail. Conspiracy to loiter. What was I sentenced to on that conviction? I think in the history of mankind, I'm the only person ever to be charged with conspiracy to loiter and convicted of that charge. And I think the judge sentenced me to 90 days on that charge. But all told, I spent about 6 months in jail. A fabulous 24-hour, seven-day-a-week jail ministry, though. So it was a great blessing. And it was part of our longtime effort to stand up for the truth, what is right, for God-given rights, for family, and so on. And so that was an Operation Rescue trial in Denver, Colorado. So here, the prosecutors, what do they give out for Epstein's 13 months in a county jail? He and four of his accomplices who were named received immunity from all federal criminal charges. And then even more shocking, they granted immunity to, quote, any potential co-conspirators. Is that unbelievable? So that would mean, let's say that when Bill Clinton was flying around on the Lolita Express, that Jeffrey Epstein, who demanded service from these underage girls multiple times per day for him and for his friends, as they were trained, literally trained to do by the older women, like in their 20s and 30s, who had already been themselves conditioned and trained. So if Bill Clinton was part of this, and knowing the dog that Bill Clinton is, it's hard to comprehend that he would not have participated after 26 flights on the Lolita Express and apparently to Epstein's pedophile island, privately owned island in the Caribbean. So this shocking deal that was arranged by Alexander Acosta. Not CNN's Jim Acosta, but somebody even worse. Donald Trump's cabinet member, secretary of the Department of Labor. By the way, you know what one of the things the Department of Labor oversees? They oversee the federal government's work against human trafficking. Isn't that ironic? They oversee the federal government's effort to fight human trafficking, including with minors. And here is Alexander Acosta, who gives this deal, arranges this deal, as the U.S. attorney in Miami for Jeffrey Epstein. So if Bill Clinton was involved, maybe in Epstein's home in Miami or on his island in the Caribbean or on the Lolita Express, then Bill Clinton just received immunity from prosecution because he's a potential co-conspirator. Is that unbelievable? Is that absolutely unbelievable? And the fact that Alexander Acosta, that he's currently a cabinet member of Donald Trump, so when the cabinet is called together to deal with the crisis, to deal with the ongoing week in and week out governance of the nation, Alexander Acosta's there. And I'm sure now with the timing of this trial beginning on December 4th, it was set back in the summer, that I would expect that there's no way that Alexander Acosta is going to be nominated to be the next U.S. attorney replacing Jeff Sessions. I can't imagine with this timing. But of course, he should be fired. But fired by who? Donald Trump? Who could be in the middle of the whole thing? It doesn't make Donald Trump guilty, the fact that this girl, Virginia Roberts, who's one of the many victims of Epstein and his friends, that she was recruited by Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend while Roberts was working at Trump's resort, Mar-a-Lago. That doesn't make Trump guilty. Of course not. But it is part of the very ugly picture. And when Donald Trump bragged that women would allow him to grope them because he was wealthy, and how sad and how tragic, how absolutely tragic. And has Donald Trump repented? Well, repented of what? Why would he need to repent? There's another horrifying part of the agreement that Alexander Acosta put together for this multimillionaire pedophile. And that's, and there's a federal law that apparently this part of the agreement violates. When there's a sex crime, really any crime, the victims have certain rights. And they have rights to be aware of the prosecution and the stages in the prosecution of the alleged criminal. Well, as part of this agreement that Alexander Acosta put together, the deal itself was kept secret from the victims. It was kept secret from the victims until after it was approved by a judge. It was sealed so that the victims and their attorneys would not find out what was going on until it was all a done deal. So it is interesting that this pervert, much of what he has done wrong, the crimes he's committed against these girls, minor girls, children, those crimes might finally come to light with the help of the mainstream media, but not because he's a pedophile, but because there's a connection to Donald Trump. And so that might actually help to get justice for these victims. And so we're looking forward to this trial. The media, with the whole Me Too movement, the media and Hollywood, how many times has Hollywood, not the bad guys in their movies and TV shows, but the good guys, the heroes, how many times have they been depicted as mistreating women, as treating women as just a piece of meat? How many times? And when women have said no and they just pushed and pushed until they got the woman to say yes or whatever, how many times has Hollywood trained young men in how to think about women, how to treat women, what to expect from women in a way that is degrading? How many times? You know, there could be a research project to count them up, but it would rot the brains of the researchers. Thousands of times. And what the media has not yet come to terms with, in fact, you don't even hear this from the conservative talking heads. You hear it here on Bob and Yurt Live. You hear it from Denver Bible Church. But you don't hear it from the conservative Christian right. And that's this. Until Hollywood respects women on camera, they will never respect them off camera. And that's simply a truism. And Hollywood's guilt in the whole Me Too movement, the side of the movement that bears the guilt, that includes hundreds and hundreds of women, stars, starlets, wannabe stars, who have agreed to be mistreated on screen as a way of furthering their career, making money, whatever, achieving their goals, and thereby damning their sisters to a life of misery because they've trained men to think of women like they're just a piece of meat, like there's something to use and to discard. And that's Bill Clinton. And that's Donald Trump. And that's Hollywood. And that's the culture. And that's the West. And that's what the church has been mostly silent about. Yeah, about pornography. The church, focus on the family. We heard it from their own mouths. They think that pornography is a free speech right. You can't fight against pornography itself, as Dr. Dobson did on the President's Commission on Pornography. We only want to regulate pornography. Oh, you only want to regulate it. So how's that working out for them? Regulating abortion, regulating homosexuality, regulating adultery, regulating pornography. When Christian leaders lose sight of right and wrong, and they begin this pragmatic absurdity of trying to regulate criminal behavior, were they now going to regulate prostitution? Why not? It would be consistent with what they've been doing for 30 years, the conservative Christian right in America. Regulate human trafficking? It'd be consistent with what they've been doing for years. But no, when something is criminal, you don't try to regulate it. It doesn't matter if you're not able to recriminalize it. You don't then concede and compromise and try to regulate it. You don't do that because you blur the distinction between right and wrong, between criminal and non-criminal. And you get to the point where we're at today, where thousands of the pulpits of the better churches in America don't even deal with morality because, for one, the pastor's too confused. He doesn't know. 2014, we said on this show, that was the year the church goes gay. Remember that? The moral foundation of the body of Christ has fallen out from beneath us, and the church is in a moral free fall. And a lot of this, none of it is because of what the left has done. None of this is because of what the atheists have done. None of this is because of what Hollywood has done. It's because of what our Christian leaders have done that young Christians no longer know right from wrong. And so Donald Trump, hey, if he's not personally guilty of with any of his interactions with Jeffrey Epstein, what is he doing building the career of Alexander Acosta, having him on his cabinet? What is he doing? That man needs to go. This is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.
Have you heard of the Plot Manuscript? It's 330 pages, an overview of the entire Bible. People who have read it have said it's helped them understand and enjoy the Word of God. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. I wrote The Plot years ago. We sell it at a money-back guarantee, $49.95 plus shipping and handling. And if you don't feel that you really understand the Bible now, we want to give you your money back. So go online to order it at kgov.com, or call us at 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278.